You are listening to the Blessed Sacrament Roman Catholic Parish podcast. We are disciples in mission who know God, love God, and serve God.
Each of the Gospels is a bit different. Mark sets Jesus in motion. He's always on the move. Luke's Gospel is a bit more technical, befitting the education that Luke would have had as a physician. And John's Gospel is the favorite of most people, perhaps because it's more emotional and its subject matter is love. In my Bible study classes in the seminary, most of the students chose John's Gospel as their favorite. I was different because I chose Matthew's Gospel. Matthew doesn't mince words. He's quite direct to his audience about Jesus and his teachings. Have a read of Matthew's chapter 5 and 6 sometime. There isn't much wiggle room for those of us who might prefer a little gray area of life. Matthew tends to be more black and white in what it takes to follow Christ. As St. Matthew details the chapters of Christ's passion, he unveils the particular and deadly sins which lead to Christ's death on the cross. Judas is stung by greed. The scribes and the Pharisees are clearly afraid of a religious rival. That pride of theirs won't accept Christ or his teachings. And it is sloth, plain and simple, that causes the disciples to abandon Jesus during the agony in the garden. Matthew's quote of Jesus at this moment is something that I remind myself of quite often. He says, "So you could not watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So true. What is striking in this telling of the passion of the Lord is how prominently cowardice figures into the outbreaks of sinfulness which lead Christ to his death on the cross. Always moved by the passion of public opinion and sudden swings in emotion, the mob, which had once acclaimed Christ's kingship, now turns on him. In the arrest of Jesus, the crowd abandons its earlier support of him. Recall them waving their palms as Jesus rode into Jerusalem when they were singing, "Hosanna in the highest." During that trial before Pilate, the mob becomes even more craven. We don't get any reasons behind why the mob prefers Barabbas to Christ. They just repeatedly shout, and they shout their demand, "Crucify him, crucify him." Haven't we seen such mob mentality in some of the actions of people in this day and age, when people rush to judgment without knowing the facts? Cowardice also drives two other characters, Pilate and St. Peter. Pilate knows that Jesus is innocent of the charges against him. His notion is reinforced by his own interrogation of Jesus, as well as Pilate's wife and her urgent message. But Pilate fears the mob. He fails to do the right thing. John Stuart Mill said it best in 1867 when he said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." I'm not saying Pilate was a good man, but the point is made. It isn't easy to always do what is right. But if we don't, evil will persevere. Pilate couldn't even admit to it. He washed his hands in a symbolic gesture and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." Really? Then there's St. Peter. His cowardice is almost comical in its manifestation. It isn't a mob or a powerful group of clerics which pressure him into betrayal. No. It was a simple question posed by a simple servant girl. Fear of persecution had gripped Peter as he denied any knowledge of, let alone any discipleship of, Jesus of Nazareth. And consider this. In St. Matthew's description of the few disciples who remained faithful to Christ on the cross, St. Matthew suggests how the fear and temptation to cowardice gripped this tiny remnant of Jesus' followers. Like the other gospel writers, St. Matthew acknowledges the fidelity of the women who followed Christ. But unlike much of Christian iconography of the Passion, Matthew does not place these women at the base of the cross. No, he places them at a distance from Golgotha. It seems that even for the few who remained faithful in the shadow of the cross, courage was touched by fear. Focusing on the cowardice which colors the sin driving Jesus to death on the cross can help us face our own temptation to cowardice. Our society applauds those who cut corners on things such as taxes and business dealings, for example, but as well with marriage and family and promises that are made to others, maybe even to God himself. Society mocks those who adhere to the gospel in their sexual and economic lives. The temptation to refuse to witness to our faith, to act with a well-formed conscience, and to pick and choose what we like or don't like about our faith in Christ's teachings is a temptation to cowardice, and it affects us all. It is, of course, not just a temptation of individuals, but for the church and her hierarchy as well. The church is increasingly pressured by the state and public opinion to be silent on the great moral questions of the age. Life and love. Real self-giving love. Not a selfish objectification of another human being that we see portrayed in so many movies and television shows and books and on the internet. Pray for our church and her leaders that they don't give in to this mob mentality. The iniquity of cowardice unveiled by the tragedy of the crucifixion of Jesus is a call for all of us. As individuals, as a church, and as a community, to to speak and act in the truth, even when such choice requires a courage that will give us a taste of the folly of the cross. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, is when we sinners become saints.
Thank you for listening to the Blessed Sacrament Roman Catholic Parish podcast. We are disciples in mission who know God, love God, and serve God.